In the big fat fancy studio, it's the news, according to me. Well, I am back. I think I'm back. Oh my, what a long list of things I have discussed today that I am disgusted with. Yeah, there's just a whole lot of stuff. And in the meantime, I wish I could have done this live. I may still do a live show this evening. It depends on how this evening goes. I have no cup. All I have is a bottle of water. For those of you who wonder, I tend to refill my plastic bottles of water. That's usually what I do. When I have bottles of water, I try to refill them. Because I figure one bottle, if everybody just saves one bottle, that's half the bottles that get thrown in the dump. We can cut it in half. That's my theory. Not that I'm not a big tree hugger guy. But I do believe in conserving our environment and our resources. Now, when you stop and think about it, all of our resources are resources that came from the earth, and they returned to the earth. I won't say how old I am, but let's just say most of my life, I've always heard this thing about we need to conserve our water. Conserve water. Conserve the water. Conserve water. Because we need to conserve our water. I was in grade school. This was many years ago. And I had a science teacher that I thought she was really cool, but she wasn't that cool. Not looking back on it, at the time I thought she was really, really a cool person. But looking back on life, I realized that she was not a cool person, but she was a good teacher, but she wasn't that good of a teacher. What did I know? I was 8 years old, whatever. I didn't know what a good teacher was. Didn't have a whole lot of experience with teachers at that time. She, especially science teachers, because up until then it was just pretty much one teacher who taught everything. It was pretty much just show and tell and nap time. But, so this was in fourth grade. I was 8 years old. And she was telling us this whole thing about how the water from the water gets, it rains down on our cities, and then the rain runs into the storm sewers, to the storm drains on the streets, goes to the storm drain, and then it drains into this other thing, and it ends up in the river, and it goes out to the sea, and it doesn't have a chance to water the earth here, because of all of our. Now, granted, I lived in a town. I wouldn't even call it a town. It was a burb. In fact, the last part of its name was Berg. The nearest town was about 10 miles away, at least. It was probably 18 miles away, almost. Actually, come to think of it. And that town was a town of 16,000 people. The little village I lived in, it was incorporated. There were a total of 352 homes, families. So I don't think the population was even much over 1,000. I think the official population of the town was like 1,100 or 1,200, something like that, people. There were three little towns that went together to form a high school. We had our own little grade school, but there was three towns that went together to make a junior high school. And the junior high and high school were they still are. Well, actually, no, there is a middle school now. But they were joined. It was just one junior high school, all in the same building. And three little towns went together. Two big towns. One was 1,000 people. The other one was probably 1,500 people. It wasn't incorporated. The other one wasn't even incorporated. All went together to form this high school out in the middle of a cornfield. It was between the two cities, the two metropolises. There were 92 people in my graduating class in high school. And that was the combination of almost the entire part of that county. But just to give you some idea here on relevance, because she was saying that all this water was going down our drain sewers, our drain storm drains, and going into the river, never to be seen again. We were wasting it. These storm drains are taking water, this precious water. It's going away. Yeah. And then, of course, the whole thing of, you know, every time when you're running water, you're wasting it. Unless you're using it, you're wasting the water. It's going down the drain. Like, where do they think it goes when it goes down the drain? Are these people, do they think that the when the rain goes away, that, when the rain comes down, it goes into our water system, or when we drill a well, pull that water out of the ground, that somehow it doesn't find its way back down into the ground again? This has always amazed me that people think that you're wasting water because you're running it down a drain, as if it goes someplace and goes away and never is to be seen again. I don't think they understand how the earth works and how big the earth is, but I digress. For instance, Lake Michigan. Now there are places on the earth that water is precious. It is precious. I have visited some countries where water, you know, if you had a bottle of water, you made it last all day. You didn't just sit there and sip it all day long and fill it up at the next fountain that came along, because there wasn't a fountain. And if people found out you had water, it could actually be dangerous. There just wasn't a whole lot of good, clean drinking water. Now, in that kind of environment, yeah, you're wasting water if you're letting it run down the drain. If it's good, clean drinking water and you're just pouring it down the drain, yeah, that's stupid. And there are places in the world, and even in our country right now, that are hurting for water. They don't need to be. There's enough water out there for everybody. Problem is getting clean drinking water. The amazing thing to me, and this is where people out in the desert, like people, places like Israel, and I guess what's that one fancy place out in the United Arab Emirates, United Arab Emirates, I don't know how it's pronounced. The UE, I think, I don't know, UAE, I don't know. They're building that town out in the middle of nowhere, big place out there, and in the desert. You know, if you have a nuclear power plant, can power a desalinization plant. The desalinization plant, I think Israel has at least two of these, I believe. Possibly more. It's very possibly have more. There is an endless amount of drinking water coming out of the ocean. They're desalinating the ocean water there and just drinking that water. Makes a whole lot of sense to me. And a while back, the Lake Michigan was, the water levels were going down. And I had all these experts explaining why the water levels were going down.
Well, it has to do with global warming and the evaporation of the lakes. The lakes are evaporating, and it's getting hotter, and so the lakes are evaporating faster, and so the water levels go down, going down and down.
And then somebody else came up with this. There's all kinds of other corny ideas that I guess Nestle has a water pumping, water bottling plant, or somehow there's a water aquifer up in the northern part of Michigan. And apparently they were pumping water out of this aquifer and bottling it for people, taking it to places where people didn't have water. And of course they would charge for that. I'm sure they were selling the bottles. So they're taking the water out of Michigan and selling it. Of course, people in Michigan were like, oh, they're taking our water away from us. Like, it's not going to rain tomorrow. I got news for you. It rains a lot here. Seattle rains probably more. But yeah, it rains a lot here. Well, anyway, my grass is still really green. And it just won't stop. I keep mowing it. This time of year, usually by August, it stops growing this much because we don't usually get that. We were still getting a lot of rain right now. So it's, anyway, I digress. So we had this, the lake levels were going down. Lake Michigan was down. I think Huron was down. Superior was even down. Pretty sure Erie was down quite a bit. And all the Great Lakes, the whole area was down. Well, last year, lake levels were so high, especially at the beginning of the summer, lake levels were so high that they were over flooding like the barriers and stuff around Chicago. People in boats were running into seawalls because they were underwater. Couldn't see them. Just couldn't see the seawall. It's like, oh, seawall? Nope, didn't see the wall. Bang. That's what was going on. Now, keep in mind that these were the people that were telling us that the global warming, the climate change, well, see, now it's climate change that's causing this the flooding of the Great Lakes now. Now, what the people who kind of had the best and the most, so had studied the Great Lakes more than anybody else, they were saying that when the lake freezes over for the summer, when it gets cold enough for the lake to freeze over, the lake, it hinders evaporation. Now, I know for a fact that when the wintertime, like when the fall starts to come in, and the cold winter initially starts to come in this area, we get a lot of what's called lake effect snow, because you get the cold air moving across the warm water of a lake, and it just sucks up the moisture and dumps it in the form of snow all over western Michigan and all the way into Indiana, parts of Indiana. And we get a lot of lake, depending on which way the wind is blowing, we get a lot of lake effect snow here. And I am just outside the belt of that. We get it occasionally, but I'm about 10 miles or 20 miles east of where that usually has much of an effect. At least the greatest effect is west of here, northwest of here. So we don't get as much of an issue here. But once the lake freezes over, that snow machine, as we call it here, ceases to develop snow because it's all frozen over. There's no more, you know, the moisture isn't being absorbed up and it doesn't come. And we still get snow, system snow, but not lake effect snow. And everybody was, these experts were saying that, well, when the lake freezes over for the winter, then there's not as much evaporation and we don't lose as much water in the wintertime. And then that way, the summertime, we have higher lake levels, which is very true. It's very much a part of what's going on there. So theoretically, the global warming causes the lake to not freeze, and then we get, you know, lower lake levels because of evaporation. Well, I got news for you. The year that we had the highest lake levels, it didn't freeze over at all, almost all the way up to the northern part. I think even the northern channel was pretty much open. And the reason it didn't freeze over very much is because we had a lot of rain all through the winter time. Even there was rain in this area. It was a rather warm winter, and we had a lot of rain instead of snow. Well, up north in the spring and the fall, and actually in the fall and the spring, I should put it that way, because it was the fall of something, I think 2017 or 2018, we had a lot of rain up north. Even here we had rain. So much so that's what brought the lake levels back up again. and they were up for like 2 years. They are just now getting back to basically where they normally should be, like what we call normal, if you want to call it normal. We don't know what normal is because, you know, I've only been around for 60 years. So it's a, we don't, you know, the lake levels are, they have fluctuated a lot over the years, and they've tried to control it with some of the rivers that are fed by the lake by reversing the flow and doing different things back and forth with the river, with the water. Of course, getting back to this whole Nestle thing, everybody thought that they were pumping water out of these aquifers and it was causing the lake to go down. Well, I got news for you. The city of Chicago has these things they call bunks, cribs. They call them cribs. And I think there's three of them outside of Chicago there that are operational. I don't know if there's any more. I think there's just three. They pump lake water directly out of the lake to use for drinking water. That's what they use for their city water. They don't have wells. They use lake water. You got a million people over there drinking water out of the lake. And you don't think that's going to make a difference? And they're not just drinking the water. They're using it for everything. Flushing toilets, doing everything over there. But I digress. There's so much going on today. There's so much going on in the last 24 hours. I did not expect it. I watched it live. I just happened to be able to tune in to the Cuomo debacle. If you need any evidence of how arrogant some of the entrenched people are on the left, and entitled that they are, he is the epitome. Andrew Cuomo is the epitome of that attitude. The man is disgusting, and I don't know how. Of course, he's not gonna leave office. Now imagine if this was Donald Trump. Now, I hate to do this, you know, what if stuff, but I want to go here right away, right at the very beginning. I was going to go into this, and then I was going to explain why it bothers me. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that bothers me most about the left. It's not that they lie and cheat and steal and do all the crap that they do. They're people. Everybody does that. Here's what gets me. Is that it's this attitude that their poop doesn't stink. And they need to be let off the hook because they're the good people in the whole thing. It's this double standard and hypocrisy. And I've told you before, I've always made it a point to say that the left, you shouldn't even bother to talk about their hypocrisy or note or point out their hypocrisy, because that's just who they are. They only have one principle, and I've said this many times. This is the Kevin's rule on the left, about the left. They have one standard, one motive, that the end justifies the means. That's really the only thing that they live by. That's the only code of conduct they have. They don't care if somebody says one thing to, you know, they have a different standard that they hold to the Republicans and the people on the right and the conservatives than they do for themselves. Now, if you notice, I heard this whole thing. I listened to it. I didn't actually watch it. I watched parts of it, but I pretty much just sat back and kind of listened to the whole thing, to this report coming out from the AG in New York, the Attorney General from New York, who was giving the press briefing on the report from the Attorney General's office. Not going to press any charges, not going to have any indictments, even though he broke state and federal and local laws. nope, our investigation is complete and we're done. We're going to leave it up to other people to deal with other things. Now, can you imagine a world in which, if that would have been a Republican, or if it would have been Donald Trump? Now, I don't know if we're going to hear, until I hear people in Hollywood coming out and saying things like, he's a pig, like they were talking about Donald Trump. He's a dog, he's a pig, I want to punch him in the face. And that was okay. Because he was just such a disgusting individual. He's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's all these things. Oh, the things he said about women. And you're going to hear people defend this guy, Cuomo. They're not going to say a word about him. If you recall, it wasn't even a year ago. This was the left's hero. They were putting him on every day, giving the report on COVID, the COVID report. He relished that kind of attention. Every day, the media was clamoring to hear him just hanging on every word he would say, talking through his nose with his accent. Today, we have all this going on. I have my daughter here with me today. Guy's disgusting. And the worst of it is, this isn't the worst thing this guy's done. Just because he came out afterwards and said, I never said anything wrong. I never touched anybody inappropriately. What a slap in the face to those people. The stress and the pressure and all the grief that they went through just to get to this point of pressing their case against Cuomo, and he comes out and just denies it all. I touch everybody that way. Well, then you're a total pervert. These people know exactly how you were touching them. You want to call somebody a pig? You want to call somebody all those names that you were calling Trump? Okay, that's fine. This guy is the real deal. But you won't hear that from them. And this is what frustrates me with them. It's not so much that they do this stuff. It's the double standards. It's the hypocrisy. They can't hold someone to the same standards when it's disgustingly, just blatantly in their face. That's what aggravates me about the whole thing. Even Biden is saying he should resign. This guy, when he got up to make his little defense speech afterwards, the only speech he should have been making was his resignation. He comes out with all these, this whole pre-planned pictures, all this stuff of him, you know, this little montage of him touching people and kissing people and giving them hugs and, oh, look at the wonderfulness, look how wonderful I am. I just do this with everybody. He knows exactly how he is. He's not going to resign, folks. He is not going to resign. His excuse is, the president didn't elect me, the people did. And he's got a point. But let's see what happens at the next election. Now, I don't know. I think he may just get reelected. Because who knows who's in control of these voting machines now. Going back to the whole voting thing, it was really interesting. I heard a montage of what was going on in 2018 after the midterms and how the it might have been right before the midterm. I think it was between 2016 and 2018 because the left was all concerned about the fact they lost 2016 and they were concerned they were going to lose 2018 because the machines were you know, the whole election process was, they were just all complaining about the voting machines on the left. The left was complaining about the voting machines and how corrupt they were and how hackable they were and how all this, all these problems. And then all of a sudden in 2020, you can't mention anything about them because they were perfect. They performed flawlessly with no problems whatsoever. And if you say anything else, you're a criminal. You're an insurrectionist. You're a domestic terrorist. You must be a white supremacist. Yeah. Where do I begin here? Where do I end? That's the question is, how, if I do begin, where do I end in this whole process of this? That's why I'm thinking about possibly doing another podcast today and possibly doing it live, because there's just so much going on. One of the things that there's several montages been put together recently of what some of the things that the Democrats have said in the past about elections and integrity. And you would think if you brought all those statements up into the current time, this was just a couple of years ago. If you brought all of those statements and placed them in the current moment in time in history, and they made those statements today, they would all be censored from social media. Or they should be. And they would all be labeled conspiracy theorists, white supremacists, insurrectionists, a threat to our democracy, and on and on and on. But because it's been more than, 2 weeks and people forget, I don't remember this kind of stuff. I'm considering doing a, one of the things about Rush Limbaugh, and I really miss him. He was one of the few people out there who could educate people, even in the midst of his show. He would have a 3-hour show, and in the midst of that show, he'd have, people calling in. And in the midst of all of that, he would also provide an education. He was the one place, in my opinion. He wasn't just a talk show host, didn't just talk about the left and didn't just beat people up and just, constantly hammer on the same things over and over and over and over and over. He legitimately educated people, and I think he did this really well in his children's books, the Rush Revere thing. He was able to educate people on the founding principles of the nation. And I think that's what's really missing in the Republican Party right now, in any party. They don't really know what they stand for or know why they're standing for it. And part of the issue is that you really need, because we're not teaching it in public schools, folks. The left and the liberal lunatics, the radical left has taken over the school systems. In terms of curriculum and philosophy and the way things are taught, most children in this country now are not being taught founding principles of this country. They're not being taught civics. They're not being taught government. And this philosophy, this idea, and Barack Obama was big on communicating this, that this idea that the Constitution is filled with it's a document of negative liberty. Put that together for a second. Think about what that means. Negative liberty.
Well, the Constitution is a book, is a document of negative liberties. It says what the government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the government should do for you.
And there's a reason for that. First of all, there's no such thing as negative liberty. Yes, we're going to give you negative liberty is called jail. That's negative liberty. Negative liberty would be imprisonment, confinement, servitude. So that's what he's talking about. And that is absolutely not what the Constitution was designed for or written up to do. That wasn't its purpose and mission. The purpose and goal and mission stated within it is that it would protect us from government. It was the people's document. A government that was for, of, and by the people. Our government is not for, of, and by a group of politicians on a hill in Washington, D.C. That is not where a republic lives. And it's not where their supposed democracy lives. I don't have enough time in this broadcast, and I may be able to get this done tomorrow. Probably not tomorrow morning, unless I can get up really early. I may be recording an entire hour segment dedicated to the entire issue of what's going on with the January 6th event. Because I have some serious statements that I want to make about that event. Some of the things that are being said. Now, Dinesh D'Souza came up with some very good points about what Kinzinger said. And some other pundits have come out and said some things, really, really good information about what has been said at that particular report, especially what some of the politicians have been saying about it. And I just have to say, it's just, the whole thing has just become a fiasco. It's political theater. And it's not even good theater. It's just very poorly done theater, in my opinion. But political theater, no, nonetheless. And it's disgusting. Tyler Zed, who has a little channel called Zeducation, he's got a podcast as well as a regular YouTube channel. Surprised he hasn't been knocked off there, because they discuss some, they walk the line there sometimes with some of the stuff they say. BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, open source news. He's been getting spanked a little bit lately. He's been on the naughty list there at YouTube for a while, because he's been getting some strikes against him just because he reads like congressional reports, and that puts him in you know, YouTube jail. Yeah, there's just a lot of things I'd like to talk about January 6th, but it's going to take an entire hour. I'm going to have to do it without talking about water and Lake Michigan water levels. So let's talk a little bit about this vaccination thing and what's been happening. It's very troubling. I've got just a little bit more time here, so I'm just going to try to dedicate a little bit of my opinions here to the COVID issues. The mask, of course, first thing we did was we came out with this mask thing now for the vaxxed, those who've received the vaccine now all of a sudden have to be, even when you're indoors, you need to be, you need to be wearing a mask, even if you've been vaccinated. Because the Delta variant, the Delta variant, that's the variants. I don't know where to begin with all this, because it's such a mess. They have really confused everybody about this whole thing, and it has become, even the mainstream, lamestream media is asking questions like, "Oh, what do you mean by this or that? Aren't you kind of whiplashing people back? They're using words like, aren't you kind of confusing people here?" Absolutely, they are. This is ridiculous. And here's the problem. We've got this issue of, okay, so now we have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. Why? We've got Joe Biden standing up there in front of everybody on a town hall saying, if you got the vaccination, you won't get COVID. Oh, okay. Um, I'm hearing about all the breakthrough cases now. And of course, now it's about cases. It's not about deaths anymore. By the way, this last weekend in D.C., there were three times as many homicides as there were deaths from COVID. And when they say the death toll has doubled, when reporting from a particular city or county, whatever it is, this just recently happened. The death toll in such and such XYZ town has doubled this weekend. They won't say what the numbers are. So I dug into it. Numbers went from 2 people died to 4. And of course, the hospitals are overwhelmed. Now, I was trying to figure out why, you know, I had this opinion that summertime, the reason that this thing, you know, drops off and the flu drops off in the summertime is because the sun, you know, you got more sunshine during the day, you got longer days, you get more sunshine, which kills viruses. And I was trying to figure out why Florida and Texas and some of the southern states have this spike in the summertime. That made no sense to me. It's like, why are they spiking? Why do they have their spikes in the summertime and they go down in the wintertime? And up here, we have spikes in the wintertime and it goes down in the summertime. And then it was explained to me and it all made perfect sense at all. I wouldn't have put this together in a million years. Well, maybe in a million, maybe half a million years, I would have put it together. This guy was explaining how down in Florida in general, in the southern states, people this time of year do not spend a lot of time outside. It is hot. So when people have gatherings and go to things and go to breakfast and whatever they do them inside where the air conditioning is. It is just, you know, most places down in Florida, it's just roasting all the time. Now, there are areas right on the water, some areas that don't get that hot. They get down up to 85 degrees, 80 to 85 degrees some places because of the ocean cooling. You get the breeze, you know, the ocean breeze there all the time. And they get the rain and that kind of stuff comes through. But the summertime is just excruciating hot. People don't, especially in Texas, places like that, Arizona, they're inside in the summertime. Now, outside, up north, everybody's outside because we only have a few months to be outside in decent weather. Why we live here, I don't know. And then starts getting cold again, so everybody starts going back inside. That's when the spikes start happening. And it's been very well reported and well noted by the CDC and other scientific, you know, organizations that there's been more transfer of the disease from people being at home. That's where, this is true in the people's lives that I know of. People who were shut up and shut in, especially people with larger families, all of them got sick. The first responders and those who were essential workers were out working in the danger zone. Most of them didn't get sick. And it wasn't because they were wearing masks, because that wasn't happening initially. Truck drivers, grocery store personnel. And yet the magic mask is the one thing they say will protect everybody. And yet this thing still spreads. Now they're telling us that kids have to wear the mask in school. And yet kids are the ones that basically don't even get this thing. If they do, it's not even hard. I mean, there's very few. The flu kills more kids than COVID does. And it's just, it's been interesting. There's someone posted on Facebook. I'm tempted to read it. I might read it maybe in another segment by someone who's, I would consider her to be an anti-vaxxer person type person. However, she makes some comments in this whole list of things, comments and questions that goes throughout this whole list of things. And I have to say, pretty much nails most of the comments. There are some arguments on the other side. Some people can say some things, but so much of what she said was, I have to say, yeah, it's these are serious questions that need some answers, because we're not getting those kinds of answers. We're basically being told shut up. Now, one of the things that Fauci said recently, again, was, well, you're taking away, that's fine for you to go out without a mask on, and if you don't care, you don't care about getting the virus, you don't care about it. That's fine. But what you're doing is you're endangering someone else who is at risk from getting the virus. Because your choice is to not get vaccinated or not wear a mask, whatever. Okay, if someone's vulnerable, then they need to be protected from this whole thing. And if the mask and the vaccine work so well, then why not put them in the mask and require them to get the vaccine? If someone's worried about getting the virus, they have the right to wear a mask and get the vaccine. And guess what? It's free. You can be vaccinated for free. Well, I didn't mean to do that. So, let's say I want to go out unvaccinated and unmasked. I want to go out to the grocery store. I would say if you're vulnerable, don't come near me. Are these vulnerable people who have comorbidity issues? Are they out there running around getting in people's faces and hugging and kissing them and breathing their air? I would say that's a problem. If you're now, I'm just saying for myself, if I was in a vulnerable situation, if I knew I had a disease or some kind of comorbidity issue, I would not expect everybody else to cater to me. Now, there has to be some kind of reasonable response from other people around me. I don't want people just coming up to me and yelling in my face and spitting at me. Okay, that would not be good. But that's considered to be assault. So if I go out in public, it's up to me to protect myself and my health. So it's up to me to get the vaccination if I want to do that. I want to wear a mask and a face shield and a bubble, thing, kind of thing. So Fauci is wrong on that. And this is where we have an issue of understanding what the basis of our liberties are. The basis of our, this is where the left comes in and they're wrong. And this is why government single-payer health care is so wrong. Because all of a sudden, if I eat French fries, it affects everybody else's health care, apparently. It affects their insurance. Well, now I have to pay more for health insurance because you're eating French fries. So we're not going to let you eat French fries. And next time you go to buy French fries, your debit card will not allow you to buy French fries on your little automated app, phone app there. It won't even show up on your menu. This is where we're going with all this stuff. There will ultimately be control of what you're able to do and not do, all based on cashless societal stuff where you have willingly given up all your information. Now, here's how this works. I just heard a report this morning from the AP. They are concerned about fake health passes for international travel. Over in Europe, this is a big deal. Fake health passes. People are going to these services that are providing them with injection, vaccination paperwork, even though they haven't been vaccinated. They're paying money, you know, between $100 and $200 to get these fake papers saying that they've been vaccinated. They all look official. And of course, the problem is, now over in Europe, they have a national database. It's not 100% foolproof, but they can use it. They can tap into that. They can see if you've been vaccinated or not. The problem is other people from other countries coming in that don't have national databases or that don't interact with an international database. Now, can you imagine this? Your medical records, your medical history, all of a sudden becoming necessary for everything about you to be in an international database. You've got China doing all kinds of things with DNA studies on how to manipulate DNA, work with viruses that can eliminate a particular race. It affects one particular blood type or one particular racial quotient. You don't think they're going to use that at some wacky world domination wacko? Is going to use that kind of information? Absolutely they are. I think that the Delta virus, of course, now we were hearing all about the Delta. I heard Dan Bongino was going on about this today. He was going off about this whole thing. Because it is, this is the reality is that they are trying to scare us once again with the Delta virus now. And here's the problem with the Delta virus. They're basically just saying it's more dangerous. They're saying it's, the only thing that they're saying about it is much more transferable. I don't know if that's the right word to use. It spreads much easier. So its contraction rate is much higher. It spreads easier. Much easier to catch it. Now, here's the problem with this whole thing. That's all they're saying about it. And then other people are saying, no, it's more nasty. It's a very dangerous, it's even worse. It has not necessarily been shown to be more deadly. In fact, and I'm saying fact, look at the studies, the certified studies from India and from Israel. And there's some others coming out from other countries now. Those are the only two I know of, but I know there's about three or four other countries that are going through studies. Because the Delta variant did not appear here first in this country. It got here somehow, probably over the border. I'm sure it was over the border because how else would it get here? I mean, because there's borders on all sides of the country, so it had to come through the border. But anyway, this Delta variant that is so dangerous is actually not as deadly, according to the numbers so far. But we're being told that it is. Now, is it deadly? Sure. It's as deadly as it is for however your body responds to it. For some people, it will be very deadly. other people it will not be. But the numbers do not show that it's deadlier than the original COVID virus. The variant actually is less deadly. However, it is more transmissible. So theoretically, more people will get it, possibly. So you could say, well, it could potentially kill as many people because it's going to reach more people. But those numbers aren't really in yet. Here is the thing that really concerns me, and I think I may have mentioned this on the last show, because I need to close this out. The thing that really concerns me about this entire thing, the entire show of, not this podcast, but the show of everything that they're doing, this political theater, this medical drama playing out. The thing that really concerns me are the reports that are coming out from some of the studies from the CDC. Now, I don't trust the CDC's advice that much because I believe the CDC has been compromised and become very political. I hate to say that. I don't trust very many of these alphabet soup organizations, these ABC, CDC, FBI, NSA, CIA, NRI, NAR, all this stuff. I do not trust very many of them anymore. I hate to say it. I hate to say it. I absolutely hate it. And the reason that I'm so concerned about a couple of the studies that have come out, because they've just been number studies. They've just been actual reports on events, not opinions or advice. And the thing that, a couple of things that concern me about these studies is one is that they, not only did they post the study, but they retracted the study after the administration told them to take it away. But the information is still out there. I think I've mentioned this before, but this is really starting to concern me more and more. I believe it was out in Massachusetts. They did a breakdown of an entire population where there was a particular outbreak of the virus recently. Now, what they're calling an outbreak, I don't even know what the numbers are for sure, percentage-wise and all that kind of thing. But all I know is that now outbreaks, we're only talking about cases now anymore. We're not talking about deaths as much. Just a little side note, the FDA did approve, not just experimentally approved, but they approved what's called a cocktail of, I believe it's anti-whatever things that are in you after you've had it. I'll move on because I can't keep my train of thought going. I got three different things going on here at the same time. The thing that that was spoken of was that there was of 74% of all the cases, 74% of all the cases in this one particular study out of a population of about 450,000 people. I believe it was in one county. And I could be getting some things mixed up between these two. But anyway, I believe it was Massachusetts. And out of this entire population, this entire outbreak, of the 100% of the people who got the virus, 74% 80% of them had been vaccinated. This is very troubling to me. Because this is showing me, at least if I'm looking at this correctly and looking at the numbers correctly, I don't believe that this vaccine is as effective as we were led to believe. Some of these were saying they had 90%, close to 90% effectiveness. That's not what the numbers are showing here. We have some very high-profile cases. Now, consider this one in particular. Let's just look at a couple of instances recently. Lindsey Graham, I think I talked about this on yesterday's show. Lindsey Graham, fully vaccinated, got COVID. I'm really curious as to whether or not we would even be told if Joe Biden were tested positive. I bet we wouldn't even be told about it. Because that's the way the media is. That's the way their administration is. They would lie about that all day long. Well, Joe is going to be he's going to be doing something this or that for a couple weeks. Now, Trump, on the other hand, was very transparent about that. He got it. He defeated it. Got over it. Done. And the media went nuts over that. Now, the issue here that I've got, the thing that troubles me most about this whole thing is just the way we are expecting this magic vaccine. Is it really any better than the magic mask that we were told all of a sudden that was going to be saving us all? Well, what if you didn't have that mask on? How about it would have been a lot worse. If you weren't wearing the mask, it would have been worse. Oh, if you didn't get the vaccine, it would have been worse. Now, here's the other issue there. They're saying, well, because these people have been vaccinated, they weren't that bad. They didn't have bad symptoms. They survived because they were wearing them, because they had the vaccine. How many people prior to the vaccine, survived COVID without the vaccine? Had minimal response to the virus. Symptoms were very minimal. Pre-vaccination. I think the numbers are close to, for people under 50, it's like 99.09% or something like that. For people from 50 to 65, it's 99.5%, I believe, survivability. So if you have the vaccination, does that mean you're 99.001? What is it? It's so minuscule, and yet we are treating this thing as if it's Ebola. If you get it, you're dead. And one of the things that this lady on Facebook said was, are we shooting for a zero count until there are zero cases in the world? Is that what the goal here is? We don't accept that of any other kind of virus in the world. And I'm concerned that this entire process, this vaccination thing, may have a long-term effect on people's immune systems. And that's the kind of thing we don't know. All the studies that have come out, you know, let alone the birth defect issue and all the other kinds of things that are happening out there. It's the other issue is, will your immune system be compromised? Is it going to collapse at some point, which is what has been one of the cautions of some of the people who have been involved with mRNA. They have said that there has yet to be anything in any kind of culture that was tested where the immunosystem didn't at some point react adversely. Because it affects the memory of the T cells, the body's ability to create antibodies. That's what I was trying to think of earlier, antibodies. They're not even taking into account anybody who's already had the virus, who fought it off, and who has antibodies. And yet that is a big part of the science in this whole thing. And studies have shown that you are just as immune as if in terms of percentages as what the viruses claim to have. I was getting back to that whole thing with the flight with the people from Texas. I think there were 17 of them that flew out in a private jet to D.C. All vaccinated. Of course, they weren't wearing their masks. So they were having a big party. Oh, look at us. We're getting away with... Oh, look at us. We're partying on a jet plane. Yay. We're showing that we're sticking it to the people of Texas. We're protecting their voting rights. Six of them got COVID. And yet we were told by Joe Biden, if you have the vaccination, you won't get COVID. I need to start putting together some sound bites again just to put on my little board here. Because when I'm in the studio, I can actually push a button and have him say that kind of thing. So I'll be doing that later on. I have some time this week. We'll be making up some new sound cards. Well, once again, folks, the day is long. The time is short. The sky is blue. I'm Kevin. This is the News According to Me. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for hanging on to all the things I've said and possibly, I don't know, maybe commenting. If you have a place to comment there on whatever format you listen to in this podcast, the ability to comment, that's greatly appreciated. I also appreciate you sharing this podcast with other people. And, you know, you can play it on time and a half or whatever. You can play it, you know, faster so you don't have to listen to all my drivel. I talk pretty fast anyway. Appreciate listening to my opinions. Appreciate you sharing what you believe. So for all of you out there listening, hopefully we'll have a show later on today, possibly a live show later tonight. I want to thank you once again. God bless you. Keep praying for our nation, pray for our leaders, and pray for those who are doing their thing. Have a great night, everybody.